Welcome back to Calder Navigation, where each episode serves as a compass guiding you through the vibrant tapestry of Calderdale. I'm Samantha McCormick, your host and artistic director of Curious Motion. I'm delighted to present season two as part of our Culturedale Commission, celebrating Calderdale's rich cultural heritage during the Year of Culture. In this season, we continue to champion the voices of our remarkable neighbours, celebrating their resilience, diversity, and the shared experiences that bind us together. From intimate conversations to profound revelations, each episode is an invitation to connect, reflect, and celebrate the human experience. Season 2 of Calder Navigation is not just a podcast, it's a celebration of community, culture, and the enduring spirit of Calderdale. Join us as we delve into the heart and soul of our community, exploring the myriad of stories that shape our shared experience. Today on Calder Navigation, we are shining a spotlight on Sowerby Bridge through the vibrant early life of one of the town's own, Jeff Amos. Jeff's life is a patchwork of diverse adventures and endeavours, from his days as an engineering apprentice to his stints as a performer and pub owner, from the rugged landscapes of engineering sites to the enchanting world of performance arts. Jeff's journey embodies the spirit of curiosity and adaptability. In this episode, Jeff invites us to stroll down memory lane, regaling us with tales of his childhood in Sowerby Bridge, particularly during the 50s and 60s. He shares the enduring impact his childhood has had on his life, including how he's lived through immense changes in the town and in our general way of life. Through his anecdotes and reflections, we catch glimpses of a bygone era and celebrate the rich heritage of the area, steeped in nostalgia and grit. Jeff also has an upcoming podcast project where he promises to delve even deeper into the mosaic of his experiences with support from season one guest Liz Leach Murphy. In fact, that's how I met Jeff, thanks to Liz's introduction. As you'll hear today, Jeff has a lot to share, and it's not possible for us to cover it all in one episode, so do keep an eye out for their podcast. So, let's meet Jeff as he takes us through his childhood memories of life along the River Calder. Hi Jeff, lovely to have you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're fine. Nice to see you too.
I'm looking forward to having a chat and finding out all about your history and memories, especially here in Sowerby Bridge.
Yeah.
So I thought, could we start with one of your first memories of Sowerby Bridge? Is there anything that comes to mind?
There is. It's a bit vague now, mm-hmm. given that I'm you know, halfway beyond my 76th year now, so some things are there. I had a lot of thought about that, and then I have memories of very early on in my life, but I can't put a year to them. They're a bit. And I was thinking that one of the very early ones, I was downstairs in the house. Our house was a cellar, one room, and then a bedroom and an attic room. I've just got this little vignette of my dad stroking my head and my brow and saying, "You'll be okay." I was in a little bed or something.
Mm.
Now, I know I had pneumonia early on. And, of course, it sounds daft now, but the NHS wasn't up and running.
Right, yeah.
So I was born 1947, you know, so we were at home. And I was very still. The fire was on, it must have been winterish, very, very warm. And then that fades.
Mm.
You know, that's about it. And then there's another little piece comes back of my dad reading to me. And because I had quite a bit of time off very early school, he taught me to read, basically. And when I actually went to that first school, Ellison Memorial, apparently I was like 2 years in front of the other kids. They were astounded. I thought I'd done something wrong, the way the teacher said, "I'll just stay there, Jeff," you know. Because it started off, she said, "Can you read this?" And I didn't realise, you know. And then I saw a face, you know, and it was, I thought, as kids do, am I doing something wrong? "Just sit there, I'm going to bring the head of school down." Lovely lady.
Yeah.
And she came down and gave another book. And can you read that? And of course, I just read it off. Another one I've got is some shouting in the front room. And this image of my dad's got hold of this man like that by his jacket up against the wall. He's shouting about something. I later found out it was our slum landlord wanting to put, you know, see that. And again, that's only minutes in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked him, you know, much later on, and he said, "Wow, you remember that?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, you know, they wasn't doing repairs. It you know, there was cockroaches and silverfish and dampness, you know." So I remember another one was outside toilet. I was sat there on the toilet and I heard a squeaking. I looked down, there's a rat looking up at me, just come through. You know, it sounds like Monty Python, but it's just it's just how it was.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly didn't think, I didn't even know what the word poor would have meant if someone had said. But it was a rough and tumble street. It was quite well known in those days. Something else I just remembered. Next door neighbour but two was actually peeing on me when I was sat on my little... Oh, dear me. Yes, that's just come way,
isn't it
way.
Amazing, the little random things that pop into your mind, especially when you're thinking about what memories have you got as well. Yeah. And it is often the kind of slightly uncomfortable or horrible ones that stick out.
And the daft thing is, when I did remember it, I thought it was a female friend.
Right.
Until I only found out a couple of years back, actually, it was my mate Tony. Oh. It was just... And then there was something else happened. I couldn't explain how I felt at the time. Not frightening, but I was sensing the whole street seemed to go really quiet, and I think it did, because we were fairly close to Tewell Lane, which, not the one that's there now, because they've cut a bend off, you know, to go down. There was this long parade of very old-fashioned gypsy caravans.
Oh.
Just moving up. You know, and everyone, the whole street just stopped and we looked. So I'm guessing, well, they obviously went up Tewell Lane, which was a heck of a pull to get to the top. I think they would have gone on towards maybe the Dales or somewhere where like that, because in later years I found out that there was a horse fair, for example, up in Appleby. And I romanced it a bit, but I'm thinking something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And having tea for the coronation out on the street, just loads of...
Mm.
So there was all, and they're all just little things about that. Another one was, I don't know how old I'm putting it, I wouldn't have been very old, because I think we left Chapel Street in sort of 55, maybe very early 56. And I had a present, which was quite rare, because it was something big. I mean, you know, there's... My mum was still not working, you know, there was three of us and my dad was doing all I was God sends. And I got a three-wheeler bike, like a metallic blue, I can see it, you know. And with a little hood at the back, you know, put things in.
Uh-huh.
And this is, my mum said, "Will you go get some National Milk?" It was dried milk that you got for nothing.
Okay.
So you went on to Station Road to Allen House there. And I got two big tins, so it was obviously, I don't know which brother it was for, again, because all this is just like that. So that's going down on my bike, onto Wall Street, turning right, across the river, under the railway bridge. How I remembered it, I've no idea. Then left on Station Road, and at the end of there was this nursing place where you went and that, and then pedalled back. Mm. I had to push it back, because it were when I got to Tewell Inn. And that was like, you know, parents now would have gone, you know, ape it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I didn't think anything about it at all.
No.
So there's lots of little things. Mm. Oh, Maud Blackburn, first person on the street to have a television.
Oh, what was that like?
Well, obviously she didn't. When you grew up as working class kids, largely you were never invited into your friend's house, you know.
Right, okay.
And that carried on to when I was 10 or 11 and older. It's really strange, you know. It's but certainly my growing up was like, so it was a tiny screen like that with a thing in front that enlarged it. And I can remember several of us kids just gazing in at it. And I did overhear when my mum come to get me away, and there was another couple who got brought their kids. Yes, well, it will be Maud, you know, no better than she ought to be. So there wasn't a dad there, you know, okay. So...
Dramas on the street.
So that's sort of the early days.
Yeah, I'm interested to know how you would describe this area then as a child.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's obvious differences, isn't there, in how the society has changed over that time. But I wondered from your personal perspective, how you would describe Sowerby Bridge and this, you know, the town and the surrounding areas in your childhood and now, really, and what are the differences or similarities with that?
I've got different memories. Mm. As a small child, I was a bugger for just going off. I must have drove my mum and dad mad. And I mean, upwards, you know, up into sort of 8, 9s and 10s. Well, everything was just wondrous. Because it's the first time you're seeing it, whatever it is. So you can't describe, you know, you're not going, oh, that's a shop that does it, or whatever. I mean, later on, I remember some older kids saying, let's go down to Cut. So we went down there, and so Canal was there. I said, where's the shortcut then? That was my own, you know, I thought we were, because I'd heard my mum went, oh, we'll take a shortcut down here.
Right, yeah. What else are you going to think?
And Cyril Sands was the local bicycle place for many years. Let's go out back at Cyril Sands. Oh, Sands, so off I went. Mm-hmm. We went round the back. I think they were up to no good. But I said, well, where's Sand? You know.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I'd been to Blackpool then, you know. Okay. So, yeah. So it was trying to put all that into perspective, really, when you were, you know, quite young. So I'm guessing I must have been hanging around with kids maybe a year or two older.
Right.
You know, and but I wasn't aware of manufacturing till later on, so maybe we might want to come back to that. It was a busy place. You know, the houses everywhere, there were mills everywhere, you know, all sorts of places. And then, of course, it did change sort of more or less into the 60s, I would say, when it started to change. But there, houses started to be pulled down, you know,
because
they're all really not very pleasant housing, as you can probably guess. Mm. And it was still the local council then. Prior to that, when there were little clutches of housing just off the main road or elsewhere, Sowerby Bridge Council would put a little park in there.
Oh.
You know, a little bit of greenery so you could sit there, because we were all back to backs and what have you. So, and planting cherry trees. Yeah, which some of them are still there. A couple have been made into a car park now, but there's still two or three around, you know. So that was all right. And of course, it's so new at that age. It's just a sense of wonder.
Yeah, isn't that
about
just?
That.
Yeah, I think that's just so precious.
Yeah,
to have that and to remember that as in your childhood, you know, to have that sense of just everything is a first.
Yeah.
And taking that in, I think that's a really lovely thing to think about, and maybe not something that I don't know if many of us reflect on the wonder of childhood.
No, I'm getting more and more to do it, you know, as grandkids are around, and you're thinking, you know, I'm talking to Margaret about this, you know, it's, her daughter lives over near York now, so she goes over every Thursday and picks Heidi up from school.
This
and
then they go. Partner, Margaret, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then, especially during the winter, we take her to, are they called soft play areas?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and something like that. Yeah. And although she's 8 and a half now, there's lots of areas for little wee ones who are crawling. Mm. And I just think, I'm saying to her, you know, what must be going off in their little heads when they haven't a clue what's going off, they can't talk yet. You know, and then there's loads of these kids running around and going up and down slides and goodness knows what. You know, I do wish you could remember those times.
That's such a sensory experience as a tiny child, isn't it? Of the whole, everything in you is developing at speed, really,
yeah.
I suppose.
Well, and yeah, I guess so.
There's
yeah.
so much information and things that we don't remember that we've experienced. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think that and just imagine what that might be like.
Yeah, yeah. And whilst we're on around that subject, I mean, there was loads and loads of different shops. And I mean, seriously, you know, I can remember just on the main or off the main street. In those early days, you had butchers, several of them, but they all, I mean, it were either pork or beef. They didn't
right.
sell lots of, you know, and maybe the pork butcher might sell meat pies, but otherwise it was a pie shop.
Right.
You know, they all had their own bit, you know, and we'd three tripe shops, one of whom served pie and peas and things like that, just at the bottom of Bolton Brow there. And the other two, yes, it was all the different sorts of offal you could think of, you know. But more on that tripe side of thing, you know, not liver or anything like that. That would be whichever butcher would sell them. There was a horse meat shop still.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. My granny sent me down to it, but near the canal, and I just went to pick it up and took it up. And it was someone else I heard talking about it, you know. I said, oh, I went down, you know, one with the blue dot, oh, horse meat shop, you know. It's there was an abattoir around the back, just off the canal. Chemists with three confectionery companies. There was one called Mattox, they did toffee, and I think their main line was bonbons, which was little separate sweets dusted in some sort of sugar, you know.
Lovely.
Yeah, that. There was John's Toffees near the River Ryburn, at the back of the market, as it was there then. And this, I grew to understand a bit later on, when I saw that they specialised in making fudge a lot, but for areas of tourism.
Uh-huh.
So you got to Blackpool and they'd be welcome to sunny Blackpool fudge, and it was made here in
Southbridge.
Yeah. And then there was another one further on, just at the side of the canal called Lums. They were boiled sweets. And their big favourite was a traffic light lolly. So you'd got the three colours on a stick. And, I mean, it just makes me laugh. I can see it now. They had red vans, bright red. And on the side was a massive, you know, painting of a traffic light lolly. And with K's, it was Lungs All His Texum Licking, you know. T-E-K, you know. So,
what does it feel like now? I know that's... There's lots of kind of things I think all of us think about. You know, we've got technology and all of this stuff that has reduced some of that localness, I suppose.
Dispiriting, sad. When you've watched it decline. You can't buy beggar all, really, in Sobeybridge now, unless you go to a supermarket, which generally I don't. At the moment, there is a shop selling screws and stuff like that. It's not far off it. There's a baker's. We used to have four shoe shops and two ironmongers. You know, it was like you didn't need to go anywhere to buy. You know, all that's gone. You know, we've got 9 barbers just on Wharf Street alone. Can you believe it?
I know there's something about what you really can't get online, I think, still exists in physical form, doesn't it? But if you can get it online, it's kind of where, and haircuts and a cup of coffee with someone are two of the things that you kind
of... Yeah, we've got that.
Yeah.
And then that's it, basically, really.
I
miss... And you want to shop local as well, you
know? Of
course. And all the manufacturing is gone.
Yeah.
There was I found a yearbook... I think it was 1965. I wish I could find it somewhere that was put out by the local council, and you know, it would let you know, like a gazette in a way. So there was lists of all the manufacturing and photographs and the mills. There was 65 different organisations making things.
Wow.
In Sobey Bridge, and a lot of them just off the main road through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from engineering, you know, to dye houses, to cloth finishing. Mentioned, you know, the sort of sweets, mm-hmm. and lots of little food stores, mm. you know. And in Remember Christmas, the one, was it Freddie Bentley's, which was by the river? Christmas, he had a huge Hornby Dublo, and that wasn't for sale. That was just in the window with some lights, you
right.
know. And another one, similar, doing a similar thing in the middle of town. The rot started, I think, although I wasn't thinking that far ahead, but mm-hmm. they took the gas showroom away.
Okay.
And then they took the electricity shop away. And you had to go to Halifax to pay your bills because, you know, there was no direct debits. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm talking
yeah.
about early 60s
okay.
here, maybe late 50s. So people thought, well, to go up there, you know. And then the market started to suffer. That was Tuesdays and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mum finished work, or if she was still working, we went down there. Very late afternoon, and did all our shopping and walked back up onto Chapel Street, or when we'd moved up onto East Parade, which is on the way out of town, you wouldn't dream of getting a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then some more people shopped up at Halifax in the market, brought it home, so it's all this step down,
yeah.
you know, and then one or two other shops started to disappear.
Mm.
There was one up East Parade, just off East Parade on the main road, which is where we moved to. Very old-fashioned. They wore white overalls, did the men working
mm-hmm.
there. And it was just smells, coffee and what
oh,
have
yeah.
you. All that started to disappear. And in the middle of town, where there was one of the two cinemas, there was a guy opened up a shop there, and he sold tins with no labels. I think it was sixpence each. Oh, it was great.
Great, yeah.
We used to, come on, man, can we come back?
Yeah.
You know, go on then. And we'd buy four.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't know.
I was going to say, so you don't know what's in them.
Oh,
too.
No, it's great.
You just get random tins
yeah.
and see what you get.
And can we eat them? Whatever's in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Daft bloody food, you know. It's
sounds fun.
But it was funny. There was a Greenwood's men's shop at the bottom of Chua Lane.
Mm.
There's just, you know,
all
such
sorts.
Scores of things, really. Yeah. Oh, we had a sort of shop selling beers and off licence at the end, this side, on the Chua Lane side. And this is when I started to learn about being abused. Some of the older boys would say, look, when we get here, right, we'll open the door, but keep the door open, and then we're going to do something. And then when they come out, it was two brothers and a sister running it. Just ask for something, you know. What? Oh, I don't know. It in a fog. And then they were taking bottles of bloody cider.
Oh.
And then when they ran out, I had to shut the door. And then when they came, because they were old,
mm-hmm.
and they'd come out at back room, yeah, what do you want? I said, have you got any tins of fog, mate? And get out. Just...
oh, wow.
Nuts.
Yeah.
I eventually told one of the bloke, Leslie, as he used to drink in a couple of pubs in Sobeybridge. When I started going in the pubs, he said, you're young Amos, aren't you? I said, aye. So I fessed up once. He said, do you think we didn't know?
Yeah, that's...
There's such a thing as stop taking, you idiot.
That's the thing when you get older and things you thought you got away with, maybe you're like, oh actually, maybe
yeah,
we didn't.
Yeah.
yeah. Just coming back to... The huge amount of change that
yeah.
there has been, and we are talking over a long period of time, but
yeah.
I think, you know, you and many other people have these incredible memories of a really different time.
Oh, very different.
And
yeah.
and I think from what you've shared so far, there was a real sense of community very locally.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say so?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so in terms of that, I think that's something that we're all trying to really hang on to, but we're in such a different world now,
yeah.
aren't we, with things that do draw us away all the time.
Yeah.
I just wondered what your thoughts are around how we could find that or keep that or hold on to that sense of community, or is there anything going on now that's kind of still giving the essence of that, even if things are very different, and we've had that those huge changes and losses as well.
Slightly. By fingernails. I mean, in the town itself, or just around, we've got, you know, quite a lot of people working in the arts, very quietly away.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And because they might be moving, you know, sort of theatre people, things like that. So there are little things happening. They've done a town square beach in the summer at last 3 years.
Yes.
So there are little things, but I think it's almost impossible because of the way of our housing is.
Right, okay.
You know, and work.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, we lived in Triangle for a little while, just up the road. Mm-hmm. And there were people there who'd never left Triangle. Mm-hmm. But they had three pubs. Then there was a working man's club. There were shops. There were mills. So they went to Blackpool once on a shower, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so, to an extent, that's how I feel is happening in Sorby Bridge. And there's a thing about finding some funding for things and, you know, think, you know, why are we getting knocked back when Hebden Bridge is getting this, you know, and Todd's getting that. And it was let slip. We were trying to talk to some officers about, you know, what is it? We've got all these people. Mm. We're doing shed loads of work, like Winterlight, which I don't know if you ever turned up for that. We the initial group doing it, did for 3 years, and then we just couldn't do it anymore because...
very hard to sustain.
You know, it's money. Mm-hmm. You know, we're three of us, it's our living, you know, so to stop that. And he said, well, you know, there's no real township here. So what do you mean? Mm. He said, you're classed as a corridor.
Oh.
Well, I tell you what, I could have killed him if I'd have got hold of him. Is that it?
Gosh.
You know? And when you look back to, for example, William Bates was a cast iron foundry. They were one of the very, very first, maybe in the world. Mm. You're certainly in Britain, apart from down in Telford, they were just off to a lane. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Pollitt and Wigsall, which they are still working steam engines. You know, working properly, not just at fairs, and even overseas. You know, so there's all this going off, and there's, you know, another company that made hospital beds. So there's all this stuff going off.
Yeah.
History, not, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. But what do you mean? Mm. We were one of the very early people into, you know, making mills for textiles, mm-hmm. you know, late 18th century. It's all there. And then to just go...
There's a legacy in many ways, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
The history is rich and diverse.
Very much so,
that's... Yeah.
We've got one of the very, very rare horizontal water wheels.
Ah.
Some developers put a fucking house on top of it, you know, and it's been let go.
Mm.
You know, it's just... It's nuts. There's no sense of history in it. You know, there are people around, etc. But that's how I feel. It's going to be very, very difficult to come and build it back. There are the people around who are working away doing things.
Yeah.
But it's all small scale and we're all more or less having to do it for nothing, you know. And that's not right either.
No, that is a massive challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's a good point, really, that... A lot of this in these days is coming from people's goodwill and energy, and actually that's not sustainable or healthy for people, is it?
No,
if you've got to hold that for a long period of time. Yeah. It's clear that you have a real passion for the local area, and you're born and bred here, you know. It's just wonderful that you've got that perspective, I think.
I have lived elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I like here.
Mm-hmm.
It's got dirt under its fingernails, I think. Sorby Bridge, and I like being here, and you're walking over the moors,
and I
used to do that at 10 and 8 and 9, talk about freak my mum and dad out there, where have you been?
Yeah.
And I didn't know where I was going, I'd just set off.
Oh, wow, just following that curiosity that you have as a kid, and just see where you
walk
end up.
The roads. We'd moved up to Sorby for a year then,
into
one of the council houses there, and it must have been summer. Sparrows were everywhere, of course.
Yeah.
You know, not now.
Mm.
And I just set off and walked up over tops. And I can just really remember feeling quite good about it.
Yeah.
You know, hadn't a clue.
Yeah.
Where I was going. I ended up in Triangle and I had an auntie living there, so I knocked on her door. What are you doing here? Where's, you know? I said, I've just walked over from...
Yeah, it's quite a long way, really, isn't it?
And then a bit older, 11, 12, 13, I enjoyed cross-country running, so I used to just set off and...
Wow, yeah.
So that was good, yeah.
Yeah. Are there any landmarks or kind of places that I know we've got streets and things that you've got real connections to. Yeah. Are there any specifics that kind of still really hold that good feeling that you had when you were a child?
It's difficult because there's so much been pulled down or burnt down.
Huge change.
There is, it sounds like a tangent, but I had made a note of that. Mm-hmm. There's an area,
okay,
and it's called Hollingsmill Lane. I don't know if you've heard of it,
but I don't know it well. Yeah. Yeah.
It runs off the curve just before you get to the river if you're coming from where you live. Fire station, swimming baths, all that, council offices there. And again, as a little snotty toddler, I heard this, didn't know what it was. I was told, it's a siren. What's it for? It means that there's a fire somewhere. And fire engines setting off. Oh, right. So if I went down there, I'd see fire engine. I think it was my mum, can't remember. Yeah. So next time I heard it, I run down like mad.
Mm.
Doors are open. It's not there. So this happened several times. This is where I've understood about the world. I couldn't have said it then.
Yeah.
About not being truthful, you know. So... I'll go ahead and come back to that. So a good few years on, I was walking past there, and doors opened, fire engine flew out, and then about 5 minutes later, bloody siren went.
Oh.
I just thought, But there was a cafe, it's pulled down next to the library, where it was like funeral type cafe, you know, the black and white waitresses, you know, and the central cafe. There was a pub, Town Hall Tavern, which I got to later, much earlier coming back. There was a barber's there, so I used to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had two massive full-size Airedales. I don't know if you know, the quite tight, curly hair, sort of darkish brown and tan.
Okay.
And then he had tropical fish. And God, was he boring. He'd sit there. And he'd drone on and then he'd stop and you'd go sprinkle a little bit more food in. And the puzzle, this is before I was drinking, but back to the 30s when my dad's family moved down from the northeast, my grandma used to go there because they still had a brewery then and got yeast for baking bread from them and things like that.
Okay,
so there's all this connection from being a little lad and then glory of glories... I ended up walking into the library and I was just, you know, just there. And I'm sure I'll have had a snot nose and what, you know, or whatever, mucky. And I wished I could have told this wonderful woman how much it meant to her because she just got up, she just said hello, you know, it wasn't like, you know, off you go.
Oh, yes.
You know, which could have happened. What do you do here? As I'd clocked the books and by now I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and she said, we're a library. Do you know what that is? I said, no. Well, it's where we've got books and you can come in and you join up and then you could get tickets and you could take books home. You read them and you bring them back. Oh. And she says, we have a children's section. And do you read? I said, yeah. Cocky bugger, you know. Well, I didn't understand it was any different.
No, of course.
Because I hadn't really gone to school yet.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so I'd gone and come back because I was ill again. Oh, she said, all right, well, let me pull the book out. I didn't recognise it. Have a go at this. And I just had her and I watched her face. You know, she went, goodness, try this one. And again, I sailed through that.
Wow.
She said, where have you learnt to read at such an early age? I said, my dad. When I wasn't very well for a good while, you know, a long time. Felt like a long time, anyway.
Yeah.
And she said, let's just try this. And there were longer words, but I was getting through. She said, I've got where you... So would you like to take some books back with you? I said, yeah, how do I, Joyce? She said, well, you're underage in a sense, so it would have to be your mum or your dad. I'm going to write them a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Will you take it up? I said, yeah, and just let them know that you've not stolen these because I'm going to give you some books to take back with you.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was it. I was going down twice a week.
Were you? Books are a big thing then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still are.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe people that don't read.
Yeah.
You know, I understand why people don't, because it's not their bag. But, you know, there's just so much to come from books.
Totally. And libraries are special still, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really special
hanging
places.
On,
yeah,
know,
they
hanging
are.
Hanging on. Come back to the street, because there's a lot more happening as I'm growing up.
Okay, please do.
As I get older, we had to, when we moved back into Sorby Bridge, I used to go to the slipper baths. Do you know?
No, I don't know this.
Slipper baths were public baths.
Okay.
Not the swimming side, that was there.
Right.
But they went to have a bath.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a geezer at the time when we moved into East Parade. And so you go down Saturday morning, I can't remember how much it was, maybe a couple of bob, half a crown, I can't remember now. And that was separate. And when, during the winter, this is amazing when you think about it now, they shut the baths down, Sorby Bridge Council, for the winter, boarded it over, like no one wants to swim anymore, and then they had dancers every Saturday night.
Oh, right.
Strict tempo, ballroom, you know,
wow.
All that.
Nice.
And then when I was getting like 15, 16, maybe, yeah, I found out that they started to put a beat band on in the interval,
mm-hmm.
you know, with those horrendous acoustics while they went off and had their pie and peas.
Yeah.
So that was great. So, this is good. I mean, it was ear splitting, you
was
know,
it?
But,
yeah.
but it was, this is teenager time
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
You
so
know,
you, this is what you're looking for, isn't it?
It is. And that word, this is it.
Yeah.
Never heard it before. This
right.
is teenager time. You know, just that very early. So it could have been 1960. And so we'd go in, and then we wouldn't stay for. So we'd go back to Town Hall Tavern because we knew we could get a pint there. So that was us, and we never went back, but that was all right.
Yeah.
So that went on, and then, you know, growing up a bit more, that's when we started drinking in the Puzzle then,
mm-hmm.
when I was a little older. Actually, I was just over 15. We finished school at 15 then at Ryburn, and the week of that in July, I went in there and had my first pint in there.
Mm.
And never stopped. It was quirky then.
Was it?
But very different quirky.
Okay.
But quirky.
Yeah.
And we've managed to keep that going, you know, so that's great. Yeah, and there's all sorts, and then come on to doing Winter Light,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that little street, and of course, you know what I told you about the fire engine and all that business, that's just...
Wow, what a rich kind of experience or life just in that particular
that's
area.
That's it, you know, and we're still doing things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just one little microcosm of the town, you know. But,
absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think is your happiest childhood memory? Do you think it's
I've
the
I've thought
library?
So long and hard about this.
Yeah.
It has to be. But I started off thinking, all right then, can you remember ever being happy?
Right,
and I
good
have to
question.
Say I can't.
Okay.
Not a miserable life.
No.
But I can't remember...
Ah, interesting.
...being that feeling.
Mmm.
I must have been at some stage, but...
What about the sense of wonder? Do you think that was linked to any sort of happiness, or is that... It is a different feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wonder and interest, and what is it? What was it? What was it used for? Can I get involved in it? You know, that when I was little and growing up, that sort of thing was fun. But no, I can't remember anything of laugh-out happiness. And when we went to Blackpool, you know, for a day, sometimes on a local bus or on a train when my dad was earning a wee bit more. And they enjoyed it, but...
You wouldn't describe it as happy?
No, not the way I feel about happiness,
yeah,
I suppose.
Enough.
You know, I knew we were having a good time and enjoyed it and everything like that. So, but not that huggable sort of like, oh, this is just...
Yeah, the kind of, I suppose, pure happiness, maybe. Is that the right words
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very individual, isn't it? These things are actually, happiness in itself is a very individual experience.
Yeah.
I think we can be told certain things will be happy, but that's not always the case, is it?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've had positive experiences through other emotions and other types of interests as a child. Yeah. But, yeah.
There was another time when we'd moved up in onto East Parade there, next to Shepherd's Rest. My mum was back working, so she out, starting work at 7:30, finishing at 5. My dad was doing all the overtime he could, evenings, Saturdays, sometimes Sundays as well. So we worked together as a family very much. Again, it was just there. And then my mum had a bit of a nervous breakdown.
Okay.
She was off work for, I can't remember how long, certainly 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was a bit better, I just remember she used to, on prescription, she used to get sherry from the chemist, which you could at that time.
Right.
I'll tell you about my gran and her Guinness as well. And she had to have every day, like, sort of like a glass like that, you know, a tumbler thing.
Yeah.
With an egg yolk in it and topped up with sherry, mixed up.
Oh, that's like a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And I went in, it was in the winter, got back from so cold and a bit, walked in, I could smell some cooking, fire was on, I burst into tears.
Oh.
Yeah.
What made you burst into tears?
The fact that I wasn't going home to a cold and empty house.
Yeah.
And she was up in the morning, you know, see us off to school. I feel quite emotional about that now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was sort of happiness, but
yeah,
you wouldn't have thought so, but, yeah.
Well, I think, again, it's very individual and it's from your experience and only you will know what that is for you.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Mm. My gran, she was anemic.
Right.
And this, I were in East Parade by then, so I think I was probably about 11 then. Mm. I'd just gone to Chewell Lane Junior School. And she, as part of her treatment, she'd 7-pint bottles of Guinness a week. And
fantastic.
It was when they still had the yeast in the bottom as well.
Okay.
So she was told to shake it up a bit, you know, stir it up. So I had to take 2 bags, go down to the chemist. We'd 3 chemists, I think. 4, actually. The one at the bottom of what was Chewell Lane, Tower Hill it's called now, and go in there. And had to get these. I managed, it's all right, in you know, 2 bags.
Yeah.
She used to drink the lot with her mate on Saturdays.
Oh, so all at once. Get topped up.
Yeah. It's just amazing. And I've been in a couple of times as well, and I knew that these were rather posh ladies because of their clothes, I could guess.
Okay.
And it was a bit of a whisper.
Right.
And I clocked it, and it was bottles of sherry coming out. There was only one at the time off licence in Sobey Bridge, which was still on the edge of Chapel Street before that got pulled down.
Mm.
That was early 60s. So I sort of started to work that out, a little bit of genteel sort of, you know.
Yeah.
God, and then there was Indian brandy.
Indian brandy?
Yeah. It was brandy, but we used to take it as spoonfuls for a bit of medicine on the go.
Yeah.
An olive oil.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That
was put on your hair or your head.
Right,
you didn't cook with it. You put it in your ears if you'd got bloody gummed up ears.
Yeah.
Amazing how things change.
I know, isn't it? It sounds like you've really embraced opportunities to do new things.
Yeah.
And that this sense of wonder and maybe curiosity really is part of who you are.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Liz, podcast Liz,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's brought this subject up as well, and I hadn't begun to think about it at all.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, it's just happening. Yeah. Because in my early working days, my dad used to talk to a lad who I worked with, but he's a lazy bugger. He's only sort of, I don't know how many jobs. My problem was, I was a quick learner, which is not a problem, but then I'm thinking, is this it?
Right.
I know this backwards.
Oh, yeah, and then you need something else to...
Yeah. This is... I wasn't used to thinking things through as such then. I mean, when I went to Goldsmiths, that really turned me around. Mm-hmm. Again, that's
another story. Yeah.
And this lad actually tore a strip off my dad. I says, you don't know what's happening with your Jeff. He's brilliant at work. This is when we worked for Rintingham District. He was a driver.
Okay.
90 wagons out every day in Lancashire and Yorkshire delivering parcels and stuff. I was his van lad. He says, I don't get up anywhere near as early as I used to because I get there. He's got up. He's got first bus out. He's up there. He's sorted because there was 7 different routes around Leeds. Mm. So I've gone through the lot and pulled out what we were. I'd put them into order. I'd started loading. He says, and I get there. He said, half an hour, we're up having us breakfast before we set up.
Wow.
That's where your Jeff is, you know. He's been searching for something. Yeah. He says he'll not stop here. I know that. I hope it's not soon because it's great for me. And that's...
Yeah. You know, so. It sounds like you just grasped everything that you could.
But with that proviso, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I try not to let you down.
Yeah.
I always said that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you describe yourself as quite a resilient person as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, there's things happened in my life with 2 of our children, you know, and it knocked us, Joyce and I, back, something awful. But you just have to eventually
find a way
through, pick yourself up. All the doctor gave us was a big bag of pills, which I just fired straight into the river.
Mm.
And in them days, there was no counselling. I'm talking early 70s, you know, for both kids. And, that wasn't good, you know, so... we got through. Don't get over it.
No, this is the thing when very difficult things happen. I think you live with it, don't you?
You've lost 2 children, you know, and it's very early on for one of them.
Mm.
And it comes back. I don't describe it as black mood. It's a dark mood that comes on, even now. And, well, you know, my close friends and family know it's coming. I'll just set through a sentence, say, look, I'm just going to pop out. I'll go make a cup of tea for a minute or two, you know, and that's the shorthand for what's happening. So we're bound back.
Yeah, and you have strategies for coping and dealing with those moods.
I mean, Joyce and I are still the best of friends. We were married 30 years, about 28 years in, before things, so it wasn't even Goldsmiths that... There was a little thing. Joyce was nervous about what was coming back, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, when you've been away and things.
And, well, you know, in at college, you know, university thing. And but that didn't happen for ages. And then that final 2 years, we really tried, but it was... We were married young. She was 17 when we had our first child, and I was 19. We didn't give that a second thought. That was it. And... So then, you know, we'd just gently grown apart, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been with Margaret over 26 years. You know. Still don't live together, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, so...
Yeah.
It's been a full life and it still is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful to you for sharing
it's fine.
Those memories.
Yeah.
And you've made me really think about wonder, which I think is something that we maybe don't... get the opportunity to indulge in a little bit as often as maybe we should. Or we need to. It's part of our well-being, isn't it?
That
sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. I could actually sit here and talk to you all day, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've got even more stories and memories you can share with us at some point.
Yeah, I
can imagine. Hopefully maybe we get another opportunity to explore them at some point. But thank you. I really, really appreciate you sharing that with us. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening who will have sparked their memories for them too.
I hope so, because I think our age group is the last, really. Maybe not even 60-year-olds, because...
Things change so much.
Yeah, you know, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, would you like to take some homemade biscuits back with you?
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank you so much. I'll fill you
a little bag up.
That sounds great.
You're welcome. Oh, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
It's time to wrap up another episode of Calder Navigation. And as we do, we want to express our gratitude for joining us on this journey through Calderdale's stories. We hope these conversations have moved you and reminded you of the power of human connection. Calder Navigation is part of the Welland Activator project, aimed at combating loneliness in Elland and Calderdale. A massive thank you to our funders, Calderdale Council, Culturedale, and Reaching Communities from the National Lottery Community Fund, empowering us to continue our mission of fostering connection and combating loneliness through projects like the Welland Activator. A big thank you to Untold Creative for production support too. Remember to subscribe to Calder Navigation on your podcast app, share it with others, and please leave us a review. Keep exploring and connecting. Until next time.